What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, November 2nd, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Greg?
I love this outfit. This is another dynamite outfit. You had a coat on earlier that I liked a lot with. I know it's too hot in the studio for a coat.
My bomber jacket.
It's a very cool bomber jacket. Did you go on Amazon as well and type cool bomber jackets and find it that way?
No, I got it in a boutique in Rome.
Oh. When in Rome, am I right, Kev? You buy a bomber jacket or something to that effect. I'm not really sure how the saying goes. Do you need me to push in?
Yes.
There's no, as everybody knows, there's no wheels on these.
Why, Greg? Why aren't there wheels?
Because if there were, thank you, Greg. There were wheels on the chairs, we would be moving around all the time.
It'd yes, if there were wheels on the chairs, I've heard a million times that I would jump up and it would slam into the thing and break it, and Kevin would have a heart attack, and that's how it would go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Andrea, the weekend's here.
I'm so excited, Greg.
What's happening this weekend, Andrea?
I finally get to play some video games.
Right, you're no longer traveling. You're and no longer reviewing games.
Right, but by playing video games, I mean playing them here with you for Extra Life.
Extra Life this weekend, everybody. If you didn't know, Extra Life is tomorrow. Extra Life 2018 is November 3rd. We'll be streaming games and shenanigans for 24 hours as we raise money for the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. Join or donate right now at kindoffunny.com/extra life. When they're an update of my Extra Life page today, because obviously we make kindoffunny.com/extra life go right to my page, so it's easier to donate. This year, they've really improved the website, because it has the Twitch player embedded along with the Twitch chat right there.
Oh,
so
nice.
So we can just send people the kindoffunny.com/extra life. They can watch and donate right from one portal, which is pretty awesome.
That's perfect. Set people up for success, you know?
Tomorrow, 10 a.m. Pacific time through Sunday, 9 a.m. Pacific time, we are playing games for those big, beautiful kids, all sorts of shenanigans, all sorts of crazy guests coming through. I am excited to announce, Andrew Renee, that you will be playing Mobile Gamer Bullshit for the Kinda Funny number one contender cat. And as you know, the Money in the Bank cat means you can challenge for the Kind of Funny World title at any point.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So that's okay. You're one of the participants.
Are you going to tell me what the mobile game bullshit is ahead of time so I can practice?
Sure. Well, no, there's no way to practice. So this is Jared.
Or is this like Nintendo World Championships where you have to go in blind?
No, it's Jared Petty's game he does on Kind of Funny Gamescast every week. So what it is at the end of Gamescast, he hosts a game show within the game or within the show called Mobile Gamer Bullshit, where he will read 5 or 7 different titles and you have to decide if that's a real mobile game or if it's bullshit.
Mm.
And usually he themes them. So like yesterday's, spoiler alert for patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, if you want to go watch the Gamescast I posted this morning, it's mobile game or grunge band. And so you hear these and you have to decide if like Girl Trouble is a grunge band or a mobile game.
So I have to go troll the Apple store is what you're saying.
There's really no way to prepare. Okay. Don't prepare. It's not that kind of thing. You just got to go in there. You got to use your sleuthing skills and your video game knowledge base.
Okay.
But I want you up against Cool Greg, so we'll see what happens.
I'm down.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Right into kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, bad PSN names for a little while longer, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. As soon as we finish here, we're all packing in a car and running away because today it's IGN cross Kinda Funny cross Taco Bell over on IGN.com. Me, Nick, and Sam are teaming up with Brian Altano to play a bunch of games and promote Taco Bell and Xbox and whatever. 2 p.m. IGN.com all the way to 6 p.m. That's a 4-hour stream. Come check it out. Then again, yeah, Extra Life's tomorrow. All sorts of stuff's happening. 10 a.m. here. Kevin is eating pizza over there right now. The final of pizza, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's exciting.
The pizza that you and I co-ordered
You made happen at the Halloween party. I'm proud of you. That was a big move for you. That was a clutch move, as the kids say.
Have you guys announced what you're playing on this fancy Taco Bell Xbox?
I don't think so.
It's just gonna.
I'm very much like it's a.
Like, I don't know what's.
IGN
installed.
Invited Kinda Funny over. I'm like, you're in charge. I don't care. I'll figure out when I get there what I'm playing and what's happening.
Okay.
And then today we're brought to you by Loot Crate and Robin Hood, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be. The Roper Report. Time for some news. 4.1 items on the Roper Report this day.
The Baker's Dozen.
That's a good improv.
Point one right now is that BlizzCon is happening as we speak.
Literally as we speak, the BlizzCon 2018 opening ceremonies are underway. I believe Jeff Kaplan is now on stage, presumably talking about Hearthstone or maybe going to transition to talking about Overwatch. They're on the Hearthstone stage. No, now they're in the Overwatch stage.
Okay.
Maybe they just cut from the Hearthstone. So we don't really have any really like...
We can't tell you what's happening yet. Because it's exactly.
Yeah.
You're going to be keeping an eye on this.
I'm going to try. I'm going to be looking at Twitter mostly because I can't have the audio on.
Do you want people tweeting at you? We want people to tweet at Andrea.
Tweet at Andrea if you guys get an announcement from BlizzCon because
I don't want your wrong overrun with the same five things that have happened or getting
announced
because
you guys can't see if somebody else has put it into your wrong.
Twitter would be easier. Just tweet at Andrea.
Yeah,
Renee.
So the only news that we have so far is that we have two big pieces. Destiny 2 is free on PC.
Number three on the Rogue Report. Get Destiny 2 for free on PC. To celebrate an entire year on PC, Bungie and Activision, in collaboration with Blizzard Entertainment, announced that from November 2nd to November 18th, everyone on Blizzard's Battle.net gaming platform who has not already purchased Destiny 2 or any new members joining Battle.net will have the opportunity to claim the game as a free gift. Existing players of Destiny 2 PC will receive an exclusive emblem not available anywhere else, which becomes available in December to commemorate the first anniversary of being on Battle.net. Additionally, new Guardians will have the opportunity to try out Destiny 2 Forsaken's new mode, Gambit, from November 9th through the 11th, 2018, during the Gambit Free Weekend. Gambit is a 4v4 hybrid activity included with Destiny 2 Forsaken. More details are available at destinythegame.com/Battle.net. How's that? Is that a good announcement? Are you happy with that one? You're a big Destiny fan.
I am. A lot of people that I used to play Destiny with on PlayStation have transitioned to PC, so we no longer get to play together.
But in this
new era of cross-play and cross-progression, just maybe.
You've been drinking that Gary Whitta Kool-Aid.
I know.
I wonder why can't I play The Division everywhere on my mobile phone? Get out of here, Whitta. What'd you say? He's crazy, Kevin?
I don't want to play Destiny on my mobile phone, but I mean, getting PC and console cross-play.
Sure.
Would be fantastic because I loved playing with my PC friends when I was into Paragon back in the day when that game still existed.
Still a touchy subject for you.
Yeah, this is a short window, and I don't think it includes. Does it include?
It gives a taste of the DLC.
Okay, exactly.
You're going to be able to play some of the Gambit thing. Yeah.
Okay.
New Guardians will have the opportunity to try out Destiny 2 Forsaken's new mode Gambit. All you get. They're giving you a full game for free. Get in there if you like it. Get the DLC.
Hey, you know what? Free is free.
Exactly, right? Get in there and try it out. Kick the tires. What are you going to do? And what's the other piece then of BlizzCon news?
So far, Heroes of the Storm announced a new hero. Her name is Orphea, and she looks really cool. She's the daughter of the Raven Lord, hence her moniker, heir of the Raven Court. She is going to be the 83rd character to join the lineup.
Good Lord.
Since the game launched in 2015. She'll have a Slacker Orphea alternate skin, shown here with the mop-slinging janitor Lyric. Lyric. I should know this, but I don't. And the video also shows off some of her gameplay in action.
Okay.
Every time I see HOTS, I want to get into it because I need something to fill the Paragon void in my life.
Right. What's stopping you?
That it's on PC.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're no dork. You're not one of these Excel dorks, Minesweepers.
Here's the thing.
No.
If I had a second rig that wasn't the production PC
Like the PC you had, it just became the production
Correct.
Rig, similar to the one we had over here.
We respect it. We took all the parts out and rebuilt it. So now it lives in the studio. And so if I want to play PC games, I have to go to the studio, which could be an incentive for me to stream more because then I'm already set up because everything, all the lights and everything are in there.
Yeah.
But I feel so lonely when I'm out there by myself.
Cats aren't out there. John's not out there.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's rough. I understand.
But that's it, Greg.
Rest in peace, Paragon. number one on the Roper Report. Longtime Pokemon director is likely stepping away. This is from Rebecca Valentine over at GamesIndustry.biz. Longtime Pokemon director and composer Junichi Masuda has, after working on the very first main series Pokemon game for a console, said he will likely avoid the director role for future installments. In a conversation published on the official Pokemon website, Masuda discusses the interesting technology he was able to work with on Pokemon Let's Go, Pikachu, and Eevee, but notes that he would like to see the series handed off to a new group of leaders. Quote, but at the same time, it's important to have the younger generation at Game Freak take over the development of Pokemon as a series, he said. I do believe this will probably be, in terms of the main Pokemon RPGs, the last time that I work as the director. Masuda's first role as director on a Pokemon game was for Pokemon Gold and Silver, where he served as assistant director. He followed that as a director on Pokemon, on Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire, and since then has held the director role on numerous Pokemon titles. He did not direct during the last generation, which included Pokemon Sun, Moon, Ultra Sun, and Ultra Moon. He did serve as producer on both. So that's interesting, if not... Oh, finally. So this is what... Yeah. Kevin, do you have it? Is that what you're pulling up?
What?
No. Okay, you're just doing something else. So yeah, I earlier today, right? We have to go do this. We're going to the IGN thing after this. I said, oh man, hey, guess what? This happened. This is big news, right? And he's like, oh my God, this is huge news. I'm like, cool. Can you write me a statement for it? And this is like an hour before Kinda Funny Morning Show. He's like, yeah, totally. And then he just went and did the morning show and didn't do it. So then he came in and said he had a statement. So I don't even have to say, I don't have to react. You know, this guy's leaving. He's a big deal in the Pokemon community. That's a big deal. But I don't know much about it. Do you know much about it?
No, I know nothing.
If I wanted to go somewhere and find out who knew something about it, Andrea, where would I go?
Well, Greg, you would go to the official Kinda Funny Morning Show Slack channel where Tim Geddes has written the something. I don't know.
Here's Tim talking about Pokemon on Slack. I am excited to see what a Pokemon game could look like without Masuda because we have seen his direction lean towards simpler and simpler experience the last few gens. Having fresh blood come in to direct could add some much-needed energy and modernize Pokemon to be a more current Nintendo experience, a la Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey. The biggest worry I have is that longtime Pokemon game planner Shigeru Omori would step up to direct, and the games he has worked on have a history of poor post-game content, which is where core Pokemon fans get most out of their games. Although, hey, things can change, and he could be awesome now. That was actually really good, Tim. Really good. That was insightful. Good job, Tim, if you're still in the building. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where it goes from here. And I do wonder if this could lead to, more modernization. You bring in somebody that has more radical ideas. Because as an outsider to Pokemon, you know, I played Soul Silver on whatever DS that was at IGN. And it was like, okay, cool. But it was the same thing of, this is what they always are, right? And like, people struggle usually to tell you the different, or not struggle, but like, yeah, that is the base. But there's always this, that, or the other that's a little bit different.
I think at its face, Pokemon looks the same, but under the hood, they've changed quite a few things with each iteration as far as like the very specific gameplay mechanics. But I agree that they need a breath of fresh air to get people in who've always maybe been on the sidelines of this franchise and been interested in it because of its, you know, kind of pop culture phenomena around Pokemon. But you can't do that when you have the same leadership overseeing all of the creative decisions.
Yeah.
So I think it's easy to say, like, congratulations on an amazing run with one of the most successful video game franchises of all time. But maybe it's time to try something a little different, something a little new.
It'll be interesting, you know, people, even with the Let's Go stuff that's coming up, people still look to next year for that core Pokemon RPG. It'll be interesting if you see.
Imagine if they did, like, a Breath of the Wild with Pokemon.
Yeah.
Just completely, like,
throw it all away.
Shattered your expectations of what to expect from a Legend of Zelda game, but for Pokemon.
Yeah. We'll find out soon enough, Andrea. Anything can happen. Mick World. Number two. We're all over here, Kevin. Good luck with time codes. I got some League of Legends stats for you. This was released via the PR Wire today. Media and Technology Insights Specialist Interpret has just released data about League of Legends players. The data show that when compared to esports audience members, League of Legends players are younger and more female. According to Interpret's syndicated game intelligence database, League of Legends players are 30% female, yet esports viewers are just 22% female. In terms of age, 50% of esports viewers are in the 18 to 34-year-old demographic, but 61% of League of Legends players are in the same age range. Other interesting data from the study: active League of Legends players spend more than twice as much, then that's 13 hours, playing online multiplayer games compared to the average PC gamer, that's 6 hours. League of Legends players watch esports regularly, 30%, at about double the rate of PC gamers overall, 14%. League of Legends players watch live streams of video games at double the rate of the average PC gamer, 58% versus 29%.
This is fascinating.
Right?
I anticipated League having a, you know, higher than the average female player base because it's such a approachable game, but also has a really long tail as far as mastery of the, you know, skills in that game.
Yeah.
Esports is not the esports stats are not surprising. It's very much a genre of entertainment that is geared towards men and still is, despite the fact that there are lots of female esports fans out there. There's so few recognizable esports female players.
Sure.
And not to say that women can't be supportive of male players. Mm. I'm obviously like a gigantic Minnesota Vikings fan. There are no women on that team. But I think when it comes to video games, you have such a deeper connection to the content because you watch it because you play it. Right? Yeah. People, nobody's watching League esports that doesn't play League. Or if you do and you still understand everything that's going on, you're smarter than the average bear.
Yeah.
So I think that there's like some kind of connection there between identity as a gamer, identity in gaming culture, and the lack of female identification in that gaming culture.
Sure.
Which is really, really interesting. I actually just tweeted a video this morning from Retro Report, which was a really well done short documentary. It's about 11 minutes long. If you guys want to go to my Twitter at Andrew Renee and watch it, it's really, really well done. Talking about the whole basis for the video is about talking about microtransactions and how they came about in the video game business.
Okay.
But they take a really good look at who gamers are, who identifies as gamers, and how, according to, you know, ESA stats, the biggest section or demographic of gamers in the United States is actually adult women, which is crazy to think about. And then it goes into talking about how this segment of people traditionally doesn't identify as a gamer. It's really fascinating. You could call it required watching.
Okay, we'll do that. Sure.
It's like I said, it's from a nonprofit, and it doesn't have any like big video game money behind it or anything like that. So I thought it was really fascinating and really well done.
You talked about that esports is male dominated, right? Or is right. geared towards males and stuff. Do you see tangentially, or I guess just from your own experience, is it that there's more female esports fans than there are more than female NFL fans? Is that getting too broad? Is that too hard to quantify right now?
I would have to see like the per capita of the total pool of fans. If I had to make a guess, I would guess there are far more female traditional sports fans of all sports, whether it be football, baseball, what have you, than there are female esports fans.
Okay.
Because being a fan of traditional sports has just been around for longer.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
I grew up a fan of football because I watched it with my dad every weekend.
Yeah.
Whereas I didn't watch esports when I was growing up. It didn't exist.
Of course.
I mean, and if it did, it was in such a small circle and it wasn't publicized.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't on television.
It wasn't accessible. It wasn't on ESPN. It wasn't easy for you to tune in or like just turn on a computer and find it, right?
Correct.
Because that would be the interesting thing. You're talking about how you have skin in the game pretty much, right? If you're watching League of Legends esports, if you're watching Rocket League, you probably play those games at least at a casual level, right? And you want to see what a pro looks like. I would wonder and be interested to see if those stats will then go up that way, right? Because it would be the fact that I would say the girls I grew up with, right, I would imagine weren't interested in sports because maybe, and I'm just guessing, right? But weren't interested because they're not encouraged to play those sports. So why would they want to go watch an NBA game or a football game or whatever, right? And that's where something like the WNBA comes
in.
That's
definitely part of it.
But as you see representation, right, start to happen, and there are, you know, esports female athletes that are out there playing, maybe that brings people in and shows them a different thing. I know, like, Jeff Rubenstein, his daughter, I know, is big into esports right now and all that stuff.
That's wonderful. Yeah. And I think as we get more representation at the higher levels of play and higher levels of competition, that will only continue to grow because representation matters. We're seeing that across the video game industry. It's tough, though, because there are just still so few women who are competing at that level. And it kind of goes back to like the question of why. Why is it that there's so few women competing at that level? And it certainly isn't to do with skill, because men and women can equally be good at Twitch-based video games or whatever kind of skill set is required, right? It's not like traditional sports where me and you playing on a football team together clearly have a physical difference.
Right, you're going to be too fast.
Obviously you'll never catch me. So I think that, you know, that's what's really unique about esports. And I was once, when I was on that the Business of Life on Vice, we were talking about this exact issue, and they talked about this gender pay gap in esports. And I said, this isn't about a gender pay gap. Let's be clear here. There isn't like a man and a woman are competing in the same tournament and they're getting paid something different. Yeah. They're competing in different games, in different levels of tournaments. So, of course, the pay is going to be different. So you can't compare what one female esports player made over here to the guys that won the international. Like, mm-hmm. you're skewing the data. So I like called them on that, but I said the important thing that we need to take from this is that the reason why there aren't women competing in the international is because the pool of players of women is so small compared to the pool of players of men, particularly at the professional level.
Sure.
So we have to ask, like, how do we get more women interested in competing professionally in esports? And that's the tough nut to crack.
Do you think, I mean, and again, I'm a novice at this, I haven't done the research like you have, would you think it comes down to exposure? And I know that sounds weird, not like
absolutely, no, it does,
but it was
though.
That thing,
yeah.
Of I know, for you know, us growing up, for a long time video games were a boys thing, right? Like,
of
I didn't grow up with the girls in my classes. They were playing, they had their own NES or whatever, and they were all about like Ghostbusters like me or something like that. Like, I would feel that there's got to be something systemic about that we saw boys never leave it, like they never left it thinking they had to or whatever. A girl who has a passing, right, or now a woman who has a passing interest in it, plays it casually, never thought about it as a career. In the same way so many people looked at Kind of Funny branching out on their own, or their favorite streamer branching out on their own, like, oh my gosh, that can happen.
Absolutely. And we're seeing that really across the board in video games, not just in esports or people who identify, but also on the development side, right? Well, there's this generational gap of women inside the industry professionally for this exact reason. And so I think we're finally getting to the point where this new generation coming up through middle school and high school now,
sure,
are in a position to be more interested and to be pushed towards those kinds of careers or those kinds of hobbies because they have the ability to be exposed to it, unlike the last couple generations,
right,
have. So we're really probably not going to see a big shift in these numbers for probably another 5 to 10 years.
Interesting. Yeah, it's fascinating now because I just feel like, and granted, I look at, like, you know, Telltale, right, before everything went kaput, there was a whole bunch of young female writers and developers getting brought on there, right? And like, I do see that, like, that it's starting to happen. In the same way I always joke around about this, PAX East was the one that I went to, and everybody's like, oh man, I got my first media badge, I've been listening to you since junior high, and I'm like, I'm old. Like, I feel like now you are starting to see developers, yeah, right, more and more and more come through that
of
way.
Of course. And I think when it comes down to any hobby, you're never going to know if you like it until you try it, and if there's nobody in your life to be like, hey, come play Heroes of the Storm,
yeah,
with me, you know, or come check out this StarCraft tournament with me,
yeah,
then if you never see it, you know, how can you ever develop an interest in it? So yeah. I hope that we get to see more females competing in esports at the upper
to, right,
echelon levels, you know, because it's such a handful that are competing at the top levels today. But the number is growing year over year.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
They should stop playing on PC, though, because PC's dumb.
I mean, that's all esports do is play on PC, Greg.
Yeah, no, I got nothing.
I was looking for something to grasp
at a straw to make fun of, and I couldn't
do it. Mobile esports,
I'm joking
different.
Around. Oh, yeah, as soon as you guys get Ghostbusters World esports going, I'm out. I'm retiring big time. Number four on the Roper Report, Brie Larson wants to be Samus in a Metroid movie. If you missed it, Brie Larson at Halloween dressed up as Zero Suit Samus, put up a photo every flipped out, and then someone on Twitter hit her up and said, Brie Larson dressing up as Samus around for Halloween is as close as we're ever going to get to a Metroid movie, isn't it? She quote tweeted and said, I hope not. I want to make that movie. That's cool. That's just all that. That was when it's a slow news day. That was the one before anything else was really happening, yeah, with BlizzCon. I was like, that's a cool thing to happen. That Brie Larson likes Metroid. That's rad. Cool. I don't know if that, I hope the movie, I don't know. Let's nail Captain Marvel and get from there, but we'll see. Andrea.
Yes.
Look at your Twitter. Has anything else happened in the BlizzCon world?
I just looked. No one's tweeted to me.
Oh, man.
It looks like Mr. Kaplan is on stage talking about something being reforged in 4K resolution.
Oh, man. All right. I can't wait for his next segment where he talks about updating
Warcraft
drivers.
Warcraft reforged. This was just announced, I guess.
Okay.
This looks like the original Warcraft.
Okay.
Remastered.
Okay.
Remade. Reforged. It's hard to know if it's a remake or a remaster.
If I was reforging something, I think that's a remake.
Yeah.
Personally, that's what I would. Kevin, you forged things.
Coming 2019, it says.
If you reforge something, you'd say that's a remake, right? That's from the ground up. You smelted it down. You put it back into the mold. And there you go.
I'm with you.
Thank you. Kevin's just eating his pizza there, smiling like an idiot. I love him. It's Extra Life Weekend. Andrea, if I wanted to know what came to the mom and grub shops, where would I go?
Greg, you would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Wait, I was holding it for you, Big Kev Dog. Out today, Diablo 3 Eternal Collection on Switch. Woo. Football Manager 2019 is out on PC and Mac. Let's double back to your woo. Are you going to play it again on Switch?
Oh, I'm so excited. I never completed it it originally came out.
Yeah.
I think I got sucked into playing something else.
Sure, that happens.
And so when I saw it was on Switch, I've been waiting for something like big that I can sink my teeth into on Switch that is not a JRPG.
I was going to say Octopath Traveler, but okay.
No, there's a ton of good JRPGs out if that's your thing.
That just don't click
to
you.
That's just not my thing.
Yeah, no, I love Diablo 3. Like, I had such a great time with it. But yeah, I played it a lot on PS3 and a lot on PlayStation 4, and I'm like, I can't do it again.
Yeah, I heard you talking to Jared.
I want everybody to go
yesterday.
Get it, but I can't.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Even on PlayStation 3, I started one of the hardcore run for the Platinum or whatever, and it wasn't bad. I remember me and Adam, boys, I think Steimer were all playing together at the time, right? And it was fun. God, what a great game. Then Jam Smashers, Xbox One. Legends of Catalonia, the land of Barcelona, is on PlayStation VR. Kevin, you went to Barcelona, didn't you?
No.
You ever been?
I just said no.
So Catalonia is actually a region of Spain just below the French border. They have their own dialect of Spanish called Catalan.
Oh, okay.
It's super hard.
Yeah? You know from when you visited.
I've never been.
It's
a beautiful region.
Yeah, download this on PlayStation VR and compare it to your trip, Kevin. All right? Thank you. Neko Para Volume 1 is on PlayStation 4. I don't know why it's such a funny joke. Revenge of the Bird King is on PlayStation Vita. Kevin, I need a trailer for the Revenge of the Bird King and then probably a PlayStation trophy check on Revenge of the Bird King too. Shadow of Loot Box is on PlayStation 4. Swap This is on Switch. And then Taiko no Tatsujin Drum Session is on PlayStation 4.
There is a new Overwatch hero, Ashe, leader of the Deadlock gang and rebellious gunslinger who's not afraid to get her hands dirty.
Okay.
Thank you to @honestlybusy for tweeting that to me.
New dates for you. Love Kami, Healing Harem is coming to Steam this November. Forgotten Anne, Throughline Games' memorable 2D cinematic adventure will be making its debut on the Nintendo Switch console on November 9th, 2018. Kevin is struggling.
For a second, I was hoping it said Revenge of the Birds, like a spoof on Revenge of the Nerds.
Revenge of the Nerds.
But that's not what this is. But if someone wants to make that, that'd be funny.
I'm not seeing any good, like...
Revenge of the Bird King, PSN. What is...
You gotta put some quotations in there.
Yeah.
This is Google search engine here.
They figured it out.
Use Scopely, your search engine
an interactive
skills.
Entertainment company and mobile games publisher, and CBS Interactive today announced the development of Star Trek Fleet Command, a new multiplayer real-time strategy and role-play game that brings an entire galaxy of characters and ships to life for the ultimate Star Trek gaming experience. Based on the 2009, 2013, and 2016 cinematic Star Trek universe, the upcoming game is now available for pre-registration on Google Play and will be available worldwide as a free download on the App Store and Google Play Thursday, November 29th. Kev is now scrolling through Blue Maxima's PS Vita weekly update number 327.
Wait, is that in the video?
Look at here. Revenge of the Bird King, and of course he's showing the trophies. All right, so it's got a plat. Great. Defeat this thing. Get that thing. Is this the game? Pretty decent game to get physically. All right.
Is this tower defense? This looks like tower defense.
It does look like tower defense. All right. I'll look into how easy the platinum is and go from there. Deals of the day was the one I shouted earlier. Deals of the day was the get Destiny for free. So congratulations if you want to go get Destiny for free on PC. Now it's time for reader mail. But first, I'll tell you, reader mail is brought to you by Loot Crate and Robinhood. Have you heard of Loot Gaming? A monthly subscription box delivered directly to your door with exclusive pop culture collectibles, apparel, and gear. Loot Gaming curates and designs everything themselves, and you can't find these items anywhere else. Like my Foxhound Metal Gear glass that I drink out of now every show.
Very nice.
That was it right there. Oh, God damn it, Kevin. I knew you were the one. Do it again. I like this Loot Gaming glass. It's one of the one of a kind collectibles you can get at Loot Gaming. This month's theme, Blade. Victory comes at the edge of a blade. Face your enemies with razor-sharp gear from God of War, The Elder Scrolls, Kingdom Hearts, and Assassin's Creed. Loot Gaming is a curated collection of exclusive, one-of-a-kind items from the best video game franchises around. You get a t-shirt in every crate. It's more than $6 of value in every crate, and it's less than $29 a month. This crate will sell out, so get your buns over there to get it. Subscribers are also automatically entered to win each month's Epic Drop, a special prize that looters can win just by being a looter. This month's Epic Drop includes a PlayStation 4 Pro and God of War bundle. Subscribe now by going to lootcrate.com/games and enter my code GAMES to save an exclusive 30% off your subscription. That's lootcrate.com/games and enter my code GAMES to save an exclusive 30% off your subscription. Next up, Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission-free. Andrea's showing it. Are you using it?
I am using it.
Do you like it?
I do like it. It's really fun because you can, like, it's just, it makes looking at certain categories of stocks really easy.
Okay.
And the way that they have the data laid out within the app is just super intuitive to use.
Awesome. It's a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest their first time with true confidence. Is that you?
That's me.
Oh, okay, cool.
I've never invested in the stock market before.
I really want
technically
to.
I have a Roth IRA.
Sure, but that, that doesn't count.
As a responsible adult, just, but I'm not the one who's like,
yeah, you're not
that.
Doing
I'm
that.
Paying someone to
this
do that
is you.
Me.
You're putting your you're putting your money in there and you're making it work.
Correct.
Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees, trade stocks, and keep all your profits. It's easy to understand charts and market data. It's a place to trade in just four taps on your smartphone. You can learn how to invest and build your portfolio, discover new stocks, and track your favorite companies. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at games.robinhood.com. That's games.robinhood.com. I don't know. Why are we all singing, Kev?
I don't know.
Old Paul wrote in and said, what's up, KFGD? This fall release season has been bonkers as per usual, but it feels like it's finally winding down. Based on that, I'm wondering if you guys are looking forward much to 2019, and if so, what your most anticipated games or sleepers that could make a run at Game of the Year 2019 are. Thank you for your constant insights, Paul. Andrea, what are you looking forward to in 2019?
Anthem.
Yeah.
I'm super excited for Anthem. As everybody knows, I'm a giant BioWare fan. I got the pleasure of working with them at E3 this year. I was looking forward to this game before I started working with them, just because I was really hoping for something more action-oriented coming from BioWare next. Not that I don't like Dragon Age, and obviously the combat, there is a lot of combat in that game, but I was excited that they were doing something different and something new, and after seeing all of the new animations they showed at PAX West just a couple months ago, I'm so ready.
For me, it's Division 2.
Yeah,
same idea.
I'm also very excited for that.
Right. Like, I love Division 1 so much. So the sequel, a new area, new stuff to go get, new gear to go get, new looks to have. And just like from playing it, it felt so good at E3 that I'm really ready. I still want to jump back in, take Kevin in through Division 1, work on the shields and stuff. We said that coming out of E3 and then Spider-Man came and then everything else happened. But now, as we start to clear, once Kevin's done with Red Dead, maybe we can make that happen.
I also am looking forward to Metro Redux. No, Metro Exodus. That's what I'm looking for. Metro Redux was the collection.
Yeah.
So Metro Exodus is the third in the trilogy. If you guys haven't played any of the Metro games, they're really great, really gritty FPS that's got like horror, suspense, overtones, survival. And the world that they've built this time around looks massive and really, really immersive in a way that we haven't quite seen from the Metro series before, because it felt a little bit more linear. They had some open world spaces, but now they're kind of taking it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a sneaking suspicion that that game is going to get delayed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think Anthem is going to make it?
I do.
Okay.
I really do. I think it's going to make it. Don't we have a bet on that?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty sure we do.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm fairly confident. Like, upper 90% confident.
Okay.
Anthem's not going to slip.
And now, I think it's interesting that we're all picking right now spring games, right? Because that's as far as I feel like I can look into 2019. The big one, the big one that I'm really, really excited for is Resident Evil 2.
See, Brittany is...
Oh, yeah, of course,
like,
Brittany's insane
still
for
about
it.
That
yeah,
game.
Of course, yeah.
And her enthusiasm has leaked onto me in a way that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, Brittany leaks onto you all the time.
Where's the pillow? So I got to play an extended demo of that at TGS a little bit ago, and it changed my mind. Because when
really?
When I played the demo that was at E3, I was like, I'm not feeling it. And then when it won Game of Show at E3, I was outright angry. I was mad.
Because you
I didn't think that it deserved it. Yeah. I was like, the work that they did is great, but is it better than all of the other games that are showing?
Yeah, yeah. You know the new ideas, the new things.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I didn't think that the work that they did to make a game that had already been released better superseded some of the new gameplay that was being created.
Fair.
And that was just my opinion, right? Yeah, yeah. Obviously, I got overruled. We were a part of the GCA judging crew, but everybody outvoted us. Even though, for the record, Brittany did vote for Resident Evil 2, and then Steimer and I overruled her. But
well, way to waste your vote, you and Steimer.
Well, hey, you know what? Every vote counts, especially ahead of the United States elections, which are happening on Tuesday, November 6th. Don't forget to vote. It's very important to exercise your democratic rights. And I'll remind you again of that on Monday and Tuesday next week. But that being said, I was skeptical.
Yeah.
And so I decided I need to give this game another shot. Capcom graciously invited me to come by their suite at TGS and said, here, we got about 90 minutes for you to play. So I sat down and played, and I was impressed. I was like, okay, I think I'm getting it now.
See, for me, yeah, that I've always talked about it, that Resident Evil originally, on PS1, right, should have been so my jam, because zombies are my favorite horror movie. I love video games, and I just couldn't get over tank controls. I couldn't do all those different things. And like, I feel clicking with Resident Evil 7 the way I did. I enjoyed Resident Evil 4 enough, and I played Code Veronica and stuff like that back in the day. But to have this like classic seminal one come over and be modernized to that point where it's like, I can't wait to jump into that world and have that experience. That for me, for the most part, is going to be my first time, right? Because I only put a few hours, I think, into Resident Evil 2 back in the day on PS1.
Yeah.
So to have that experience waiting for me, I'm pretty excited for.
I just don't like scary games with jump scares and monsters like that.
Yeah.
And Brittany is forcing me to play them more and more, so here we go.
She keeps leaking on you.
Yeah, we're probably going to stream it together.
That'll be fun. That'll be cool. That'll make for good Let's Plays, at least, and streams.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. But yeah, are there any that can make a run at Game of the Year? I haven't even started thinking of Game of the Year 2019. I don't know if there is a front runner that I think of.
Well, there's a bunch of games that we don't have firm release dates for, right? Yeah. So is Days Gone a contender? Probably. Is The Last of Us Part 2 maybe coming in 2019?
Don't worry about it.
Question mark? Not likely. Right?
Yeah. Ghost of Tsushima.
We also don't have
Kojima,
a clear release date on that game either.
Yeah. There's a lot. That's the whole thing, is it's so nebulous next year.
Right.
And even if they are saying they're targeting 2019, you'll see if they actually make 2019.
Yeah. If The Division really leans into more of the narrative this time around, I think that they have definitely will have a contention in the action adventure game category, maybe best online game multiplayer category, game of the year. Don't know.
Yeah. Speaking of 2019, Ivan the Hero writes in and says, with the Game Awards on the horizon, do you believe any weighty announcements will be made?
Yes.
Of course.
Definitely.
That's what Game Awards are. I can't wait.
Yeah.
It's like Christmas.
And I think based off how cryptic Jeff has been.
And Jeff, don't get me wrong, he's going to hype up his show, but he's being very like, this is the biggest one we've ever had. I can't believe some of the announcements we have. I'm like, can't wait.
Yeah, I think especially with PSX not being directly after the Game Awards, that maybe left the door open for some of the the third party AAA games that would normally do some kind of an announcement with Sony. Maybe say, hey, let's do it at the Game Awards 100%. Instead.
Yeah.
And Xbox might decide to do something. You know, I feel like we haven't gotten like a big announcement from them in a while.
Well, we'll see what XO18 brings, right?
Yeah.
Next weekend. Oh, yeah, a week from Saturday, they have that Inside Xbox that's going to be huge, apparently. So we'll be live streaming that on Twitch.
I'm trying to keep my expectations tempered and low.
I think the fact that they haven't gone and like banged the drum over and over and over again shows that, yeah, your expectations should be like, all right, cool, we're going to do some cool stuff.
I don't think they're going to reveal Xbox Scarlet.
No,
right?
No way. It's what I think we talked about this, right? Where it's like, you know, and I know nobody who's going, like, that got invited to go. So it's like, if you were going to have something huge like that, you definitely
would
drum it up
press
to the press and be like, hey, you got to be here. It's going to be big.
Right.
Yeah. All right, that was a good pregnant pause. Tagless02 says, Greg, I'm a huge fan. No, I'm a huge Tetris fanatic and have bought Tetris time and time again for each console that I've owned. Yes, I sadly have the Ubisoft version too. With Tetris Effect demo that dropped yesterday, I had to jump in and finally experience Tetris in VR. While playing, I was having fun and smiling the whole time and unknowingly spent 2 hours playing and getting lost in the music. So my question to you is, do you think we will see more rhythm-inspired iterations of Tetris and any possible DLC music packs? Of course, right now, Tetris Effect has a weekend demo up on the PlayStation Store, PSVR, or regular old PlayStation 4. You don't have to use it in PlayStation VR. I played it last night, and yes, it is as fantastic as it was at E3. I cannot fucking wait for this game. All hail Mizuguchi. Looking past that, I don't... are there going to be more rhythm-inspired iterations of Tetris? That I don't know. If it does really well, I want to be, you know, Tetris Effect 2 is definitely something that could really happen. And in terms of DLC, I think it's too early to say. Like, I really want to get that game and see how much content is in there. Because Mizuguchi, not known for not packing games with tons and tons and tons to do. Look at Lumines Remastered, where I was like, oh man, I'm a Lumines pro. I'm going to platinum this, no problem. And I'm still chipping away at it because there's so many puzzles and so many things to do and so many little challenges to get new skins. And it's just like, wow, this is something I keep coming back to, but it's going to take forever.
Can I ask you a dumb question?
Please do. I can't promise I can answer.
Was under the impression this game was a PSVR exclusive, but there is a 2D version.
Correct. It's what it is. From the jump, it's been it can be played either way.
Okay.
So you can play it in PlayStation VR.
Progression.
Oh yeah. Well, I know it's the same game. It's just like you put it on. If you put it on in VR mode, it's going to play in VR mode. And if you put it on your TV, it's just going to play in TV mode.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
Because I haven't gotten the chance to play this at all yet.
Oh, my gosh.
I've just seen lots and lots of demos.
Yeah.
Like of other people playing.
Right.
And been like, hey, I know I'm going to like this. It's Tetris.
Yeah,
of
course.
I like Tetris.
Well, yeah, and they do have new mechanics to it. And the way the music does. Like, did you like Lumines? Did you ever play Lumines?
No.
Like,
I mean, I did not play it. Cannot say if I like it or not.
I think based like what I know of you and rhythm games and Rock Band and stuff like that, you'd love Lumines, I think. But even this Tetris one where you're playing and as you start getting the Tetrises, like the music starts to build, right? And then it's the crescendo and then you're into the real song and the effects are going. Like in VR, it's awesome. Even just playing on the TV last night was awesome.
No, I'm definitely bringing the headset out for this game for sure.
Yeah. I'm sure we will stumble into it during Extra Life because I made sure I downloaded it today on the PlayStation 4 Pro.
Oh my gosh, can we do Beat Saber?
Dude, it's not on PlayStation VR yet.
I can bring my Oculus.
No, we have an Oculus here. It's just pain in the butt.
Damn, we had it set up.
You gotta turn it. You gotta turn it on and update it, and then it asks for your fucking Excel key, and you're like, oh god.
You have to do all these steps every time.
Fucking goddamn fucking PC gaming. They're getting hard today. Today's YouTube comments are gonna be like, I don't know why this guy hates PC gaming so much.
I mean, they know why you do.
Yeah, that's right, Kevin. Dunk on him.
Yeah.
I don't like that one anymore. 32-bit player from PA writes in and says, what's good, KFGD crew? I thought Kotaku reporter Laura Kate Dale had some insightful required reading in a Twitter thread regarding the Rockstar and Trusted Reviews Red Dead Redemption 2 leak and subsequent donation. 32-bit player then links to her Twitter, twitter.com/Laura, L-A-U-R-A, K-Buzz, friend of the show. The thread continues from the first tweet. Greg and Jared covered the news yesterday, but Laura's thread left me wondering about some of the following questions. So yesterday we talked about this. Did you listen in?
Yes.
And it was basically like, I feel like there's not enough information here to come down and be like, wow, this is great this is a horrible thing, or it's just a benign thing.
Right.
And Jared and I gave more benefit of the doubt to the fact that this is happening and you don't see this happen all the time to everybody else, to us says something behind the scenes did break a law or cross a line or whatever. Laura went the opposite way, which is the, as you know, journalism school taught me, the way of like what my fears were of. She saw it the other way of like, nope, this is Rockstar making an example out of these people to show that they will chase you down, and that even if you are right, they have the lawyers and the money to stop you, that they can drag it out for as long as they want and bleed you dry and blah blah blah.
I kind of feel like she's right.
And that's the thing, is like she could easily be right. And I hope we presented that as an option yesterday, but I wanted to make sure that we didn't ignore it today. If there weren't a million questions about it, there was literally one. I think we did a good job of being like, could go either way, who knows? But I did think she does an exhaustive tweet thread about it. That is like, yep, this is definitely the, oh my God, I hope this isn't what happened, but it could be what happened. And it is, yeah, like Rockstar's making an example out of them. Yes, legally they would be protected if they got the, if person X broke their NDA and gave it to Trusted Reviews, then yeah, person X is the one who violated the NDA. Trust reviews would be legally protected. However, they Rockstar could go in there and basically bleed them dry and do all this different stuff and run through court.
Yeah, because trusted reviews like wouldn't like this isn't like police asking a journalist to name a source because somebody's committed a crime and you need to they need to like subpoena somebody to be a witness, right?
Yeah.
It's different because what we're talking about here is a video game.
Right.
And
business practices.
So if trusted reviews, you know, broke an embargo, for example, or if they had been the one to write it, it would or just sign the NDA, it would be different. So Rockstar can give them like a soft punishment and like blacklist them essentially and never give them coverage opportunities ever again for their titles. But I don't think that they have any legal stance to go after trusted reviews. They would have to, as you said, go after the source.
Yeah.
But trusted reviews also has no obligation to give up the source.
100%.
Right? And I think, like, and Rockstar can't force their hand. There's no legality that says that they can, you know, get law enforcement involved to force their hand to give up their source either.
And to the, yes, that's all correct. And I think Laura's presentation would be that even though that, yes, trusted reviews would be legally protected, the journey to get in front of somebody to have a judge say that what are you doing, this isn't, still is an expensive one. And that Rockstar has infinite money, whereas who knows how much trusted reviews has.
I would hope that Rockstar wouldn't bother with that.
Me too. And like me and Jared said yesterday, it really, I mean, like a lot of shit has leaked about Rockstar stuff before and they've never done that to anybody else.
They should just let this die in the news cycle.
And I think, oh, they definitely are.
Just let it get washed under, enjoy the fantastic week of stories coming out about how great the sales have been for Red Dead Redemption 2 and like just be like, okay, let's just let this go.
Well, I wanted to present like I said, both sides.
No, you did the right thing.
Okay, good, Andrea. But here's some questions from 32-bit player. Jeez, I'll get there one day. Number one, have you ever been placed in a situation where a verified employee of a game developer or publisher had provided you personally with information about an unannounced game without the company's knowledge? If so, have you responded in the past? If not, how would you have responded? Parentheses, don't name names or put anyone on blast, please. I'm just curious to see if either of you have had experience. Let's break out the list of names.
Of course we have. We're both friends with a lot of video game developers at a variety of different companies. We go to things like GDC and DICE, where you are having off-the-record conversations all the time. But an off-the-record conversation is just that. You don't talk about it. You don't name sources. You don't talk to anybody else about it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, he's talking about this, right? And I think that is correct. Nailed it. Period on that statement. He's talking about the personal experiences, right? Without naming names, I had somebody come on up at noon back in the day and we were having a conversation about it and talking about all, you know, video games, the video game that this person was making. And eventually I was like, I got to ask, yada, yada, yada. And I asked about Orbis. Because the PlayStation 4, right? And that person confirmed the existence of the PlayStation 4. And like Up at Noon's not live, so it's in front of a live audience, but that person confirmed the existence of the PlayStation 4. And I was like, okay. And talked about something else and talked about whatever interview, and the interview ended and we said goodbye to the guests. We said goodbye to everybody. Everybody walked out and Nick, who was producer on Up at Noon, came back and I'm like, do you understand what just happened? And he's like, what? No. And I'm like, someone for the first time ever just confirmed on the record that the PlayStation 4 is real. Orbis is real, right? Mm-hmm. The next generation PlayStation is real.
Right, because I'm sure they got dev kits, right?
Yeah, of course, and had meetings and stuff to that effect. And it was such a innocent slip. It was, I presented it, and I know you can't talk about it. They still talked about it. Because again, it's always that we get so caught up, and I mean we, you and me, and whoever's listening or watching Kind of Funny Games Daily right now, that sure, we know what has and hasn't been announced. We know what the rumors are and what isn't, you know, all that different stuff.
Right.
A developer making a video game has no idea what the general public knows about whatever it is. So if they've had a meeting and they've had, most of the time.
Yeah. No, I think we're in an era now where you would hope that video game developers far and wide the lengths the internet goes to find details about upcoming titles, including like LinkedIn, resume looking at data files, like all
but
of that stuff.
But I mean,
stuff,
if
right?
you go and you have a meeting and the people you're meeting with are openly talking about the PlayStation 4 Orbis at the time and talking about specs, this, that, and the other, I don't know if, I mean, I wasn't in the room, if they led with, hey, heads up, this isn't announced anywhere. Don't ever, if somebody comes at you and mentions something, But I came at him and they totally answered as if, if he knows, then I should know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it was that thing of, you know, you ask, how was it handled? Like, it was a very interesting thing because you want to talk about me personally being pulled in two different directions, right? Of, cool, the Mizzou grad, I'm a journalist. This just happened on the record. This is a real thing that happened. This is a real fucking thing that happened. But then on the flip side, this is already after I think I had been transitioned off of everything. I was just a host. And I was hosting a weekly variety show where we talk about video games. And I invite a guest in, and it's going to be a different conversation than if Jason Schreier was sitting across from them.
It's really
tough.
And
what their guard is and what the show is.
And I think that is kind of an ethical conundrum that a lot of people in this business find themselves in.
Yeah.
Particularly if you do have friendships with people who work on the other side. And the reason why it's kind of a conundrum is because I always keep going back to what we do is entertainment news. Mm-hmm. And I want everybody out there far and wide to remember what we do is entertainment news.
Yeah.
It's just like what people on Entertainment Tonight are doing, what E! Online are doing, what people at Us Weekly are doing. It's all under the same umbrella when it comes to reporting on video games, right? This is a leisure activity that you spend money on that is a hobby for most people. And it's tough because it's like us, like let's say Jason Schreier breaks a story about some images from the next Call of Duty, which I'm pretty sure he's done at some point in his career.
Sure.
Where someone's been like, here's some images and some details.
Yeah.
And like, here's a long write up about what the next Call of Duty is going to be about. I look at something like that and I'm torn. Part of me is like, oh, this is great because it's information and content and can kind of invigorate people to be excited. And the other part of me is like, I feel so devastated for the people that had been working so hard on that game for so many years and had this big reveal plan.
Yeah.
And now because you want to get clicks, you've ruined their entire marketing plan. And that really sucks. And like, and for what? Like, what's the takeaway there? What's the win? You know, and that's a really hard conversation to have because there are people out there on the internet that say that it's my duty to reveal that kind of stuff if that information comes across my desk.
Yeah.
And I say, no, it's not. I have all of the right in the world to look at that and go, this is the right thing to reveal now, or this is the wrong thing to reveal right now.
So put a pin in it because that comes up here in this part two of the question. But basically I got back to my desk and a few hours later, got an email from a PR person that was like, he said some stuff he shouldn't have said, like what, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it was that a real question that then escalated up the IGN chain of like going into rooms and it being, I don't even, the EIC at the time, who I'm not even sure anymore because it's been so long, right? EIC, me and Nick, people from the news team, and having a real conversation, I think even like Tal and Parra maybe, of a real conversation of like, what do we want to do here? And why do we want to do this? And to your point, right, what happened is we cut it out of the show and we never reported on it. Because the argument was, what are we doing, right? Like, all right, cool. Basically, we like everyone knows the PlayStation 4 is real.
You would be throwing that guy to the wolves.
And that would be the thing, right? We would be, make no bones about it, that he would have been fired from his job. That would have been the end of that part of his career. And I grant that I'm sure he would have landed on his feet and yada, yada. That would have been totally fucked up his life for us to be able to, the PlayStation 4, which you know is real, is real. Like, and it's like, do we really need to have that, like, in what you're saying? I want to get to the second part. In that one instance, for that one thing, mm-hmm. and for that one, the views that one up at noon would have gotten, for the clicks that one story would have gotten, it wasn't worth the cost there for what we felt. And I'll tell you right now, that's how I came down on it too, which I really felt was my real, like, okay, I can never say I'm a journalist in any sense of the word for games, right? Games journalism. And there were people in that room not at all happy with that decision, right? Because they were trying to go the opposite way with games journalism. And I get that. But it came down to the context in which it was revealed, where it wasn't we're having a serious interview and you know you need to be guarded. Like, that's not what Up at Noon is supposed to be. And that was the other thing, too, is like, what would the ramifications of that be for a stupid little talk show we had? Where it would be like, well, would anyone ever feel comfortable coming on and fucking around again? Or would they come on now and be like, no, I'm going to stay on
task. They have their like brand manager hat on.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what it's going to be. And so Was it right or wrong? Who knows? Like, I think it's, as with most of this kind of stuff, it goes around. I want to pull your pin, but here, number two from 32-bit was, Greg, you've gone on the record discussing that the type of video game coverage you do is more in line with fluff stuff like Entertainment Tonight. That's what Andrea says. Don't put those words in my mouth.
That's definitely what I say about my coverage.
That's not, that's not to say there isn't terrific pound the pavement games journalism, as evidenced by Jason Schreier's well-documented look at Rockstar's workplace culture. What balance does games coverage have to strike so journalists aren't afraid of the threat of expensive litigation by releasing their stories? Clearly, some stories, such as reporting on a game's studio work conditions, are more important for the general public than reporting on potential details of a game's future battle royale mode, but I'd love to know your thoughts. Yeah, I fight that same thing as I just talked about in my Up at Noon experience, but for sure of, yeah, wow, oh my god, they got whatever leaks for whatever game, and it's like, it is that thing of like, oh, man, that was, I'm glad that everyone in the industry knows that if they've run into information, they know Jason or Patrick or Austin will, you know, go to them and like get a thing written up on it. But then, of course, knowing the industry and what the business is, mm-hmm. you do feel like, oh man, that sucks. Cause it is like, the stories you hear out of Naughty Dog, right? When I think it was the build up to The Last of Us, and they like sent out an email of like, don't be that person. Don't be the person who leaves the iPad on a plane. Don't be the person who drops a PDF in the wrong Dropbox folder. Like, we're almost there. Don't mess this up. You know what I mean? And like, you understand that, yeah, it's this hundreds of people that are trying to get to this awesome moment to showcase the world. But yeah, I've never been of the line that it doesn't belong, right? Or that it shouldn't happen. Like that isn't Jason or other games journalist works. And I feel like that's just because we're in such a growing pain area right now, mm-hmm. where it is that we are splintering into different things, where I think the audience understands, man, they understand the difference between a games journalist like Schreier and an influencer like you or me, right? Like that they understand what they're getting and where they're getting.
I don't know, Greg.
You don't?
I think that you're giving them too much benefit of the doubt. And I say that based off of so many comments and tweets and other kinds of communications that get sent my way.
Sure.
That I feel like I've been shouting from a mountaintop.
Yeah.
That I'm not a video games journalist for years now.
Yeah.
But that doesn't stop people from saying, I have X, Y, and Z responsibilities. I should be doing this kind of coverage. And I think that's because there's so many people that haven't seen my previous work, which is totally fine. Mm-hmm. I don't expect people watching this show.
Mahalo games. Get on it, everybody.
To have seen, you know, like where my career began and like where I want to go.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think that that's the problem, especially in a landscape of traditional media here in the United States, is what I can speak about from our experience, is so volatile and like has this like overtone of just like anger and aggression around it, obviously stoked by the current administration,
sure.
about how like people are on edge about where they're getting their news sources from, and they have like some kind of weird sense of ownership over it at the same time. It's a really kind of rough place to be when you're talking about news. Mm. That's why I love video games, because they're supposed to be fun.
Oh, sure. And at the end of the day, right? We talk about toys.
Exactly.
And like, I think that, yes, you talk, and I understand that that's a very base level look at it. Of course, I love the fact that Jason and all these guys are, should they, people unionize? Crunch is horrible. Let's protect teams. Yes, that's a huge part of it.
Right.
But outside of me saying that, yeah, I agree, there shouldn't be a crunch and stuff.
But like, what do I think about something like that and I go, oh, it's interesting for me to read, but what do I have to say about that?
Sure.
I don't work at a video games developer. I never have, and I don't, and probably never will make a video game. It's not in my skill set. So like, what right do I have to tell them how to run their business?
And that I think was an undercurrent of everything we talked about, right? In those 2 weeks of crunch talk here on Games Daily recently, where it is like, I love it when we start talking about something and we are very distinctly, as our commentator roles, on the same side as mm-hmm. the viewer or the listener, where it's like, for the most part, we're just talking as fans of video games and how I want my video games to be made in a humane way.
Right.
but course. I also understand wanting to work long hours and stuff. And I'm not the guy to come in and be like, this should never happen again, and this is why, and this is how you fix it. I don't know how to fucking make a game.
It's like there's an expectation, because we sit at this desk, that we're supposed to take a stance that certain people want, and that if we don't take that stance, then we're not doing our job, or we're not doing our job well enough. And that's really frustrating, because I don't think either you or I got into this business, into this line of work, to make sure that we could force our opinions on other people, except for your incessant prattling about Padawan 2.
Where the fuck is this game? It's almost been a year since I fucking played it at PSX, and not a peep out of anybody. I don't want to distract you, though. Fix the name change things, then we'll come for the Padawan 2. No, I'm, yeah, exactly. But that's, you know, why we get to be the best friend in the room, right? And, like, granted, it's awesome that we get to focus on this as a career, so we can, you know, while everybody has to go to work and take care of their real lives, we get to play the game or talk to the developer or read the news and come back and have opinions on it and understand the years of, you know, the years of experience that have gone into it to get to where we have an opinion about it. And this is why I'm comparing it to X, Y, and Z.
Totally. And I think I can speak for myself here, and maybe you share some similar thoughts, is that, because we've been so fortunate to meet so many of the faces and the people behind these companies, behind these amazing pieces of art, these games, it's going to forever color how we see the news. And that's why I want to make sure people know that I'm like a pundit. I'm not a journalist.
Sure.
I have opinions, and my opinions are always going to be steeped in the commentary that I give. And I'm always going to see, or always have a perspective of, what would the person who's making the game feel like? And because of that, obviously I get pegged as
the corporate apologist, Andrea Renee.
Or shill, and how I'm not standing up for consumer rights. And I go, that's not my role. If you want to hear somebody who's always going to stump for consumer rights, Jim Sterling is there for you. You know, or you can go to a variety of other people who talk into microphones.
I hear you, and don't get me wrong, I get it too. When I would, you know, when me and Gary go and I play devil's advocate, or I don't agree with Gary on something, right? But I feel like that just comes with the territory, and also it's the reason people come to this kind of show or follow us, right? It's because they understand that they might not always agree with us, but hopefully they agree. They understand that our reasoning comes from somewhere,
right? Exactly.
And I wonder more. You're like, you know. I was saying earlier, right, that I think people understand more and more the difference between reviewer, influencer, journalist, right? And you're like, I don't know if they do. I wonder, and stick with me on this, if it comes from the fact for you, I guess for me, it's so rare anymore. So rare that I get like, why didn't you fucking do this? Or why didn't you do that? Like, even like, because like Red Dead was the thing, right? Of like, oh man, I only played 20 hours of it and it didn't click for me. And so like, I'm going to say that, and I know I'm going to get the, you fucking shouldn't even bother reviewing it. And well, you didn't play the whole thing. And I didn't get that. Like, granted, the comments on Jared's videos were.
You got it a little bit, but thankfully you stay away from the comments that I have some weird obsession with reading.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that you're just into the point. Like, look, you want to have a there's so many places to have a healthy conversation.
It's,
you know,
true,
what I mean?
It's true.
And that's the, and I wonder if just part of it though comes down to, you know, and don't stick with me, is that I feel like you've only been out for a year with your own brand behind you, where there's one place to go for Andrea Renee content. Because for years, you've been around, obviously, as long as I have, right? But it's always, you've bounced around from different places and been a host. And I think now with What's Good, people are listening to the podcast and understanding where you're coming from and understanding what games you like, what you don't like, and what your opinions on all this stuff are and how it falls down. And I think that's what benefits me, is just being a dinosaur and I'm talking forever about this. Is like, people understand, like, cool, like, Greg is going to play what he likes or doesn't, and if he doesn't like it, he's going to stop playing, but that'll be his opinion, which is valuable to the people who care about that part of it, right? In the same way of, like, they want to hear what we think about this because of who we know and because of how it all works out. It's a good thing.
Yes.
Hang in there.
Okay.
Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Ben needs help on Xbox One. Ben's username, B. Stefan. S-T-E-F-O-N. B. Stefan. I'm looking for some zombies and blackout crews to roll with. I am just getting back into the Call of Duty world and am just looking for some best friends who are okay with me being a mediocre addition to their crew for blackout or zombies, as I no longer have a crew to belong to. Oh. If you want to play Zombies and Blackout on Xbox One, hit up Beastophone. Andrea.
Yes.
We ask people watching on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, watching live, to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. What did we mess up today?
Kebab says Pokemon Soul Silver was indeed released on the original DS.
Thank you.
Ignacio Rojas says Super Smash Bros. Is a huge part of esports and it's a non-PC game. Shout out to Zero. Listen, Ignacio Rojas.
Listen.
No offense to the Smash community because they are passionate and they exist. To say that Smash esports is on the same level of games like StarCraft, League, Dota, Counter-Strike Go is just categorically false. You're wrong. Ear Gamer says, according to GameSpot, the announcement of the Reforged game is the classic real-time strategy Warcraft 3 remastered.
Okay.
Thank you. Dix Fuente said, when doing ad reads for Robinhood, you say ETFs when it's ETFs, as in plural of ETF. Thank you. That's helpful. I don't know what that is. Is it clear that we're novice investors?
Exactly. Kevin, thank you for slacking me, games.robinhood.com yesterday, by the way. Didn't have time to click on it yet, but I will.
And Malcontent says, you're wrong to not play Beat Saber this weekend. I'm working, but we'll tune in for that.
I love Beat Saber, and I want to fucking play it on PlayStation, so I'm going to keep waiting.
Someday soon, maybe.
Loved it. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, watch it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listen on podcast services around the globe. Remember, it is Extra Life weekend. Woo-woo. We are starting to host community streams right after this, I believe. Then we take the stage 10 a.m. tomorrow Pacific time. You can get it at extralife.com/kindoffunny. Please go there. Donate throughout the day. Spin the wheel. Almost Kiss. Geostorm podcast, ghost stories. It's everything you know and love from Extra Life in this very hot room, because of course it's going to be hot this weekend.
But maybe
God fucking forbid it be nice.
Maybe we just veto drinking any liquids out of Kevin's, you know, body parts.
Only your husband can this year was the description I think we put on the thing. The host for next week go like this. Monday, it's Tim and Andrea. Tuesday, it's Andrea and Tim. Why? I don't know if I can confirm where I'm at next week, but I'm doing something fun. And once I can, I'll tell you about it. Wednesday, Greg and someone will host. Gary Witta had a drop out the last second. Texted me today while I was showering. I've started hitting up the list of people who have been requested from you, the audience. So hopefully I'll get a new face in here.
If for some reason you can't find a new face, I will step in.
Your old face will show up.
I'll go 3 days in a row. It's never happened.
Thursday, it's me and Jared. Friday, it's me and Tim. Until tomorrow at Extra Life, ladies and gentlemen, have a conversational day.